it's pretty complicated.
Okay.
So the timings they use it. Basically, they have a couple modes that it could run as.
Okay.
They could either run as fast as possible, which completely ignores timings. They could run as the natural speed mode, which is, I think, is the default. Which
so just one question. As fast as possible, that does respect dependencies, though, right?
Yes, of course. Okay. All of this is
okay, so it's just that as long as dependencies are met, I issue the next instruction. Yep. Okay.
So what I was getting stuck as is it looks like natural speed mode is the default. In that mode, they take the time between each thread. When one thread finishes and the next one starts, they take the time between that.
And then actually means one system call finishes and the next
threads. Threads and file descriptor uses. It's pretty complicated, but the main one is threads. So when you have the sequence of system calls, each one has this thread. So when a new thread starts, right after one, it doesn't mean it ended, the previous one, but a new one started, they get the time between that and this one. And then in the natural speed mode, they sleep for that during the replay. That's where I was getting stuck at. I didn't understand what the reason for that was. So I've been trying to understand how, if I could, how to get the timings.
But these are only using start times. This natural mode uses only start times, or does it use...
The natural mode uses the time for the system call to finish.
So it does use time for system call to finish.
Yeah, all of them do. Everything that depends on timing, they get the start time of the operation, and then they add on top of that the time it took to finish. So I've been trying to understand if how you suggested it might cause some problems for them. Because if I do it on one computer, if I run, a random set of operation and it gives me a certain time, doesn't mean that time actually ran the same when you ran the whole system trace, right? So maybe if I do that, it might cause problems. Like there might be overlaps which shouldn't have been during the original trace.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to figure out.
Well, that's it's hard for us to know. I mean, the last time we discussed about this, we said that one very approximate technique would be to take an average of all the execution times of the same type of system call.
Right.
And assign it for every system call of that type.
So for that, I was just thinking about just creating a C program that basically does all the system calls a couple of times, and then I average out the timing for that. But in the original trace, maybe the system call depended on something else, and therefore it took a lot longer, some things like that.
That is something we cannot know.
Right, so I've been trying to figure out if that would cause me problems in their code. That's why I've been looking through all their code, trying to figure it out.
Could it cause a problem in their code? Well, it could cause a problem in their code. How could it cause a problem in their code? Let's say we assign a time. Because we don't rely on the data, the content, for instance. I mean, if you change the times, maybe a write actually completed before a read, but because we let's say, shortened the time for a write, or elongated the time for a write, the write completes after the read, and the read gets a different set of content. That could happen. If we don't get the times right,
that would be because of a context switch.
Because their dependencies are not derived correctly.
Right.
So if the write completes before the read, we don't, we fail in conveying that dependency to the RCD player. Does this make sense to you?
The way that the trees are set up. How they're on sequence from 1 to 5 million?
Yeah.
Is that the actual sequence? Or could there have been different CPUs running at the same time?
Except that counter is incremented atomically.
Say 5 and 6, even if 5 was running on a different CPU than 6, it did RAM before this one was called, right?
In
even if they might run in parallel, this one was called before this one.
In wall clock time, okay. Yes. Yeah. That is guaranteed in the traces.
Okay.
I'm trying to get Hector to develop a new tracing module that will get us return times.
Okay.
And if we do have that, then this timing issue is sorted out.
Yeah, pretty much.
But for now, if we can simulate the times using this course approximation, I think that would be a good first step. And then eventually we can fix that with actual times.
I literally just saw that they have those different modes while I was right outside reading it. I knew they had the as fast as possible mode, but when I looked at the code, it's not a default. They actually, you know, wait on, they call it pre-delays. So I was getting confused because I was thinking, why would they force that? Why would they force sleep? And you don't really have to. If the point of the benchmark is to see how fast it runs compared to a different system, then why would you force a sleep equivalent to what it ran on the original system?
Yeah.
So I might run it on a faster system, but the sleep depends on the time it ran on the previous system, which was probably slower. So the sleep is not equivalent to what the sleep would have been here.
Except that you don't know what it would be on the new system. So you just go with what the old system says.
So,
in the absence of more information, you go with whatever information is available.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the philosophy that they're using there.
That's what I'm going to try to do. See, I'm not going to enable that as fast as possible because that seems the best for what we have.
Yeah.
And then just get the averages. That's it. That code was hectic, man. Barely any comments. The comments I do have are kind of a...
That's icky. How the research prototypes usually are. There's hardly any help with comments or documentation. He says they just post it out there for whoever is smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah. Is Hector working on that now?
It's unclear what he's working on now, but I told him to look into that as well to get the return points, return events from system calls. Because if we do, then we know execution time for every system call.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that would be all that you would need to get RC to replay our stuff completely, right? Is there anything else that we are faking?
Oh, yeah. The parameters being passed to the return values of the actual system calls. At this point, I'm assuming
if we have return times, then we potentially have return values too.
Okay.
So we could get that.
But what about for mmaps? You know, even in that case,
mmap will also have a return value.
Yeah, the return value is it's the actual pointer value, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you get that from return time?
Well, mmap will have a return statement which will return that memory address, and if you probe that return statement, you would get it.
So you mean you guys are going to print all of that out?
That's what I'm hoping that we'll be able to do. So a trace record will have entry point and return point, and the return records will have additional information such as time of return and the return value and maybe additional things. So, yeah, that's a little bit more complicated, but given that it seems, at least for the RCD player, we would need that, it makes sense for us to spend some time doing it.
That's what the core needs. That's all the core needs.
Yeah, entry, return, numeric ID, type of call, parameters. So the parameters are the other thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially for MMAP. Right now I'm being as lenient as possible. And just saying shared values, the shared flag, and the other one was the mode.
So the flags are not accurate in our...
Oh, we don't have them.
Right? We don't have anything.
We don't have any arguments to the system calls.
To MMAP.
To any system call.
To any system call. No.
Well, for open, we do... Yeah, no. Right? For open, we have the open flags. And we do have the open path, so that we do have information for that one. For write, we don't really care. All we care is about the how much it was written, right? The number of bytes. We do have that. For mmap, we don't have the flags for that.
Yeah.
Fsync, I don't think requires anything important. just the font script already. So in that, the font script is cool because we don't have the return values. I sort of, you know, create a system that will allocate a file descriptor for them.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. It's just a lot. All they care about is if the open call failed or not.
So yeah.
That's all that matters. So yeah, you're right. I think MAP is the most important one.
Okay.
And also, MSync, they don't support it, like I mentioned.
I think we could augment the tracer with all of these additional things. I think it would be good if you create a document with a set of missing stuff from our traces for the RC replayer. And then if we have a complete list, then we know exactly what we're missing and we can make sure that we get those in into the next version of the replayer. Sorry, the tracer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Except from that, that's pretty much it. Oh, are the traces based off of like the initial starting of the program, or was it, well, like, did the traces start in between the program execution?
Oh, at some arbitrary time they start.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed that because.
But it's not just a program; it's like a running system.
Right.
Right. These are running servers that are running. Maybe
so these
more
are multiple
than one
processes.
Probably multiple processes. Oh. Some of them are file servers, so you have like multiple NFS or Samba or some other kind of connection services going on.
Yeah.
You have other services running potentially. And they're all, each of these is a different process. They're going on for a very long time, and then at some point in time, we started the tracer and it started collecting system calls. And that's why you see.
So there's a general collection of traces.
Yeah, you see, for instance, reads. Without opens, writes without opens, because you started at some arbitrary point.
Yeah, I think I'll have to fill those in because I think they expect that. They don't expect any missing
initial system calls.
Yeah.
So you would
because
have to insert the opens.
They're how they work is on single processes. But in our case, doesn't I don't think it matters. You could treat the whole trace as a single process, anyways. Right.
So the thing is, I mean, Hector is running into this situation with exceeding the number of open file descriptors per process and that sort of stuff.
For which system? For Linux?
Well, I think he's replaying on Linux.
Because I think in their code they have a segment which says OS X only supports by default up to 256 file descriptors, and they modify that.
You modify that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what Hector did as well. He increased the number of open file descriptors. There are several different variables that you can configure. Are you open file descriptors per process and open file descriptors for the entire system. So, and you were saying that some of these have hard limits that you cannot just keep indefinitely increasing them. And saying like 1 million or something like that was the hard limit on the total number of file descriptors for the entire system. So at any given time, it's not it's not like if you close, you can reclaim that.
Yeah. Weren't all of those open at the actual replay, actual time of the original system? When the original system was running, all those file descriptors were open at that time, weren't they?
That's right, yeah. So that's the thing that is surprising to me. How is it that one thing which I could see maybe is, still don't get it, if they were open in the original system, unless those systems were, you know, configured to use much higher number of, I don't know what distribution it is, because certain Linux distributions set these defaults differently.
Right, yeah.
And it could be a distribution. I can find out which distribution these servers are running as well. So that shouldn't be a problem.
So I'll get to it then.
Okay, so next steps for you include...
After I get the timings sorted out, I should be able to replay.
So the timings are the coarse grained approximation we spoke about.
Yes.
How do we get that?
I'll just create a C program that runs every system call that we support, and I'll run it multiple times and average that out, pretty much.
Because
otherwise, to get it more accurate, I would have to look at the trace, see what type of things were open, replicate that. So I would actually be implementing my own replayer to get the timings. That would be the other way.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Hector.
For Friday, you said Ricardo's gonna do his
practice
proposal.
Yeah. No, that's 19th.
Oh, 19th. Okay.
Friday 19th. That's also a Friday.
Yeah, cause I have a test on Friday.
Okay.
Sorry. Leave it open or
shut it? Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay. See you.